Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, July 25th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Holy cow, where's the time gone? Here it is, the end of July, and we haven't had a Q&A show since early last month. And because of that, my email inbox is overflowing. Besides a big load of hot questions from the sexually worrisome out there, I have a special treat for you today. I am pleased to announce that my most excellent summer intern, Monique, will be joining me for today's show. That's right, sex fans. Someone high up at the University of Washington made the ill-advised decision to let me mentor an impressionable young lass for the summer. I mean, what in the world were they thinking, right? Well, as it turns out, my most excellent summer intern, Monique, is pretty gall darn amazing, as you will soon hear for yourself. But before we get to that, we have a word from our sponsor. Today's show is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I am exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 4 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows. Interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. You just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks who are donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now I'm processing donations with PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make your contribution. Okay, let's mosey on over to the email inbox and see what we have. We begin today with an exchange I had with a woman whose name is Jessie. She writes, Dr. Dick, my boyfriend and I have been having sex for months now, and even though it feels good, I just can't seem to finish. We've tried many positions, and he goes down on me for extended periods several times. I see a definite pattern when I'm really into it, and it feels great, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't feel so good anymore, and I get bored. The same thing happens when I masturbate, which I have been doing regularly for the last few years. This is really hard for him because he feels like he's not doing enough. We have great communication and are both open to experimentation. I'm not really sure what the problem is, but if you have any ideas, I really appreciate your feedback. Thanks, Jesse. What an interesting story you tell. Before I launch into a response, I have some questions of my own. How old are you? Have you ever had an orgasm, either by yourself or with a partner? How do you masturbate? Do you simply use your hand? Is it a wet hand or a dry hand? Internal stimulation and or external stimulation? Do you use a vibrator? If you have a minute to respond, that would be great. I know a lot of women who have some difficulty coming. Most of them have it in their head that if they don't come in a certain amount of time, they are a burden to their partner. And this is a major cause of performance anxiety for women. Do you know about performance anxiety? If not, check out my site, do a search using the words performance anxiety in the search function in the header, and you'll come up with a whole bunch of stuff that I've written and or in podcast form. Good luck. Jesse writes back, "Hey Richard, thanks for the response. I'm 18 years old. I have never had an orgasm, either by a partner or masturbation. I usually use lube when I masturbate, and I do both internal and external stimulation. I feel like I'm very in touch with my sexuality. I know exactly what feels best and what pressure and speed. I just can't seem to reach my peak. When my boyfriend and I are having sex, I don't think I'm very anxious or concerned with how I'm doing. Normally, I'm very engaged and into it. It's usually after we finally give up that I feel bad. He tries so hard, and there's nothing to show for it." Jesse. So you've tried a vibrator? Do you feel bad if your boyfriend feels bad that he can't get you off? Sounds like it to me. And if you are frustrated, as it sounds like you are, is your frustration getting in the way? Does your unsuccess set you up for further disappointment? When you say that you are engaged, what does that mean exactly? Are you staying with the pleasure as it is happening? Or are you thinking, oh my God, what if I don't get off again this time? Does there come a point when you simply say, let's call the whole thing off? Jesse responds, "No, I've never tried a vibrator. I do feel bad that he feels bad because he tries so hard and wants so bad to please me. He feels like he's not good enough. Yes, I stay with the pleasure and focus on that. There is usually a point when I say, if it hasn't already happened, it's probably not going to happen. That usually happens after he's finished. He'll either get hard again to resume sex or do oral, manual stimulation to try to get me off. After a while, it just stops feeling good, and I get bored and I tell him to stop." Okay, thanks for the follow-up information. Listen, would you be up for trying a vibrator? I suggest a wand-type vibrator. And I give Jesse some examples that we have in DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And anyone in our audience who's looking for a wand-type vibrator should go to DrDickSexToyReviews.com and search the site using the word wand. The truth of the matter is that some women need, at least initially, a good deal of stimulation to get off. I would also suggest that you try the vibrator during your masturbation sessions first. Good luck. Next, we hear from Ruben. We don't know his age or where he writes from. He writes, "Hey, I was wondering. Well, every morning I wake up with the morning wood and my dick gets super hard, and it takes for a while for it to get soft. But whenever I'm about to top a guy, my dick gets soft. And every time I'm messing around with a guy, my dick gets big, but not hard. When I'm alone at home jacking off, it does get super hard, but not when I'm actually messing around with a guy. Why could this be? My dick looks normal, and it's pretty big and decent, but I don't understand why it doesn't get that hard when I'm having sex." Well, it sounds like everything's working properly, Ruben, so I wouldn't worry too much about your boner if I were you. That being said, you should probably know, if you don't know already, that partnered sex is different than solo sex, in as much as we often need more stimulation in the arousal phase of our sexual response cycle. You know what that is, right? And if not, search my site using the words sexual response cycle and you'll get the lowdown. You know, too often guys try to rush over the arousal stimulation in order to get to the main event, so to speak, and this is not a good idea. And when boners don't happen like we think we should, we often develop a bit of performance anxiety. And if you don't know what performance anxiety is, search my site using those words. You might also consider using a cock ring. Do you know about cock rings? I sure hope so. If not, check out drdicksextoyreviews.com and search the site using the words cock ring. Good luck. Ruben writes back and he says, "Well, thank you very much. This actually makes me feel much better because I thought I had a problem with my penis. I'm actually going to go and buy a cock ring because they might work too. What kind of pills do you recommend that will actually make my cock super hard and make me last longer? I've been really horny lately and I've been wanting to find the right pills." You don't mention your age. How old are you? Listen, honestly, I don't recommend any pills, particularly for young men. I know it's hard to see now, but taking erection dysfunction medicines in one's youth will surely be a problem when one may really need them when he is much older. Good luck. Alrighty then. So, as I promised, it's time to welcome to the show my most excellent summer intern, Monique. So, Monique, darling, welcome to DrDickSexAdvice.com. For those folks out there who are just tuning in, Monique is my illustrious summer intern. So there, first of all, say hi to our audience, and then tell us a little bit about what a summer intern is, and how you came to be associated with Dr. Dick, of all people. Holy cow.
Okay, I can do that. That'd be great. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. This is great to, and hi everyone, this is great to be here. So a summer internship with a sex therapist, which is what I was looking for, entails talking about how sex therapy is delivered, either in person, in couples therapy, individual therapy, and learning about
right. So for our audience's sake, you are a student at the University of Washington.
Yes.
So, and you're getting extra credit for associating with the likes of me.
Essentially, what, yes. I get college
credit. What is wrong with that institution?
It's wonderful. I love it. It's great. So they do have a lot of internships you can choose from, but as you know, I approached you.
Yeah.
Because I saw you speak on a panel at UW last year called Ask the Sexperts. And there were a lot of really great local names and representation there. And I just jotted down your name thinking, maybe I'll network him later.
Cool beans. Well, I'm sure glad you did. So if you're ready, I want to launch right into asking you some questions. I'm going to respond with you. Uh-huh. So let's start with Joe. He identifies himself as 27-year-old, lives in San Diego. He writes, "Dear Dr. Dick, I'm 27-year-old gay male, and I've spent most of my life exploring my sexuality solo. At first, as a teen, it was my only way to get off, but as time progressed, it has become the only way I can get off, and I'm worried I have used porn and my imagination as a crutch so much. Now that I'm older and I have the confidence to explore my sexuality with other men, I find it difficult to ejaculate without going into my own zone and being solo. Not only does this frustrate the other a tad, it frustrates me because I really want to get into the other person. How do I get past this and undo years of flying solo? Cut out porn and masturbation altogether for a bit? Just more practice with other people? Thanks."
Well, I definitely feel for him. This is really frustrating, definitely. But I want to say kudos to Joe for exploring his sexuality more. That's a really big step. So porn and masturbation are safe ways to explore what gets you hot. But as you've discovered, Joe, sex with others is really fun too. You say that getting into your zone is the only way you get off, but also that it's difficult to get off with someone else. So I'm going to hazard a guess that it's somewhere in between, difficult to impossible, that most of the time you don't get off with someone else, but perhaps on occasion you do. Anyway about it, the good news is you're certainly not stuck flying solo. While part of the frustration might be from association, it's not uncommon for people to not be able to orgasm with newer partners, and that generally resolves itself after a while. So I think it may be a combination here of new partners and some association with porn and your own stroke.
Good, good, good. And I thought that was really a great answer. And I would just add to that that, you know, is there anything wrong about going into your own zone when you're having sex with a partner? Everyone does it. Right? I mean, most everybody is, you know, have some kind of fantasy or something playing in his or her mind while they're having sex, even with people that they truly love and are really grooving on. So, I mean, I don't think that that's a barrier necessarily to effective partnered sex.
Yes, I definitely agree. Fantasizing can lead or help with a very rich and fulfilling sex life. Most people do it. There's an opportunity here for him to tell his partner about his fantasies.
Totally.
And give him an opportunity to take him up on some of those.
Totally. Good point. That's a really wonderful thing. Good for you. Thanks for adding that.
Yes.
So let's move on to our next correspondent, who identifies herself as Claire. Maybe you, Monique, could you read Claire's question?
Hi, I'm a 31-year-old lesbian, and I'm a virgin, but my girlfriend wants to use sex toys. I'm really scared and like to overcome this fear. Have you any advice, and why am I so scared of anything going inside of me? Also, would it hurt the first time and make me bleed? Or if she only used a finger, would that hurt as well and make me bleed? Thanks for your help and advice, and I hope to hear back from you soon. Claire.
You and I have discussed this one between ourselves earlier. So why don't you just launch into your response to Claire, and then you and I will talk a little bit about it.
Okay. Without talking with you, I cannot brainstorm with you why penetration scares you, though I can say lots of women are scared the first time about pain and about not knowing what it will feel like or how the whole experience will be. So my concern for you, Claire, is more about what your motivation is for overcoming your fear and using sex toys with your girlfriend. I hope that your girlfriend is not pressuring you, because it's not good to do anything sexual that you don't absolutely want to do. If vaginal penetration is something that you have been interested in or now interested in exploring because you're curious or it seems fun and exciting to you, then that's a brilliant reason to sally forth. In that case, Claire, you can conquer the scary unknown and explore new territory with some patience and self-love. It's something that I think you may want to start on your own, because then you have complete control over your own experience. Starting with what gets you hot when you masturbate is a great place to begin. Once you're definitely hot and excited, maybe try using your own finger. You get to control how far in, if you move your finger, if you want to continue, or you can just stop at any time for any reason. Lubrication will help. A good water-based lube, maybe something without glycerin. Some women are sensitive to that. So try it on your own a few times, and if the self-exploration goes well, it's exciting. And then if you want to try it with your girlfriend's finger, then by all means, go for it.
So let's talk a little bit about the comment that you made to me when we first discussed this about tampons.
I'm wondering if Claire has used tampons before, because they're similar in size to a finger. They're not too much different, so maybe she just hasn't made that connection. So depending on what type of tampon a woman uses, the act of pushing it inside is very similar to just using your own finger. I mean, there are some that don't even have an applicator, so your fingers are halfway in there.
Right. So here's a thought that both you and I had when we first read this letter, and that is that we're wondering if Claire is really a 31-year-old virginal lesbian. What are your comments?
Well, and it helps if, you know, the audience could see how this was written, but what I noticed in her email is that twice she asks about bleeding.
Yes.
And twice she asks about a finger hurting.
Yes.
And so that's what made me kind of wonder, because a woman once a month bleeds a lot, and she uses tampons in theory once a month, although perhaps Claire doesn't use tampons. Mm-hmm. That's completely legitimate. Mm-hmm.
It's certainly a possibility that this could have been written by a man and sent it off to me as, like, let's see if we can get Dr. Dick to talk about lesbian sex.
You know what? We're going to talk about it anyways, because maybe we can benefit from this. So either way, this is great.
Right. So I also wrote up a response to Claire, and let me just add my two cents. Sure, Claire, I have advice for you. Before you play with any toys with your girlfriend, play with them by yourself. This way you'll have total control over what goes where and how it goes there. Sex is nothing to be afraid of. Some sensations may be unfamiliar to you, and pain, if there is any, is a relative concept. But the only way you will familiarize yourself with these sensations is by doing it. That's how everyone else on the planet does it. I've had plenty to say about virginity, both written and in audio form. All you have to do is go to the categories function in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down until you find the lifestyles and relationship category. Scroll down a bit more until you find the virginity subcategory. Good luck. All righty. Let's move on to another really interesting question that we have from somebody who does not identify himself, although we know by the question that he is a male. We don't know his age, where he writes from, or his name. And I'll read this question. It comes in three parts. Number one, I understand why males have nipples. On some guys, the nipple is flat. Mine has a little teat. I don't understand what causes the protuberance or teat to stick out. Can you tell me why? What, number two, what's inside of a nipple? Is it fat cells? Number three, I have discovered that if I put a clamp on my nipple, I can tie it off and with string or dental floss, then I can pierce my nipple with a pin. I can barely feel the prick of the needle, but my penis gets hard. And am I causing any damage to my nipple? Occasionally there's a drop or two of blood when I remove the pin. Thanks. So, Monique, he's all yours.
I love that he broke this down into three little distinct categories for me. He didn't even know how much he was helping me. So my response to him was, and is, it's great that you understand why men have nipples. Honestly, I had to look it up, and I got a little bogged down in the explanation of chromosomes, sex hormones, and evolution. So what I walked away with was that nipples are not sex-linked characteristics. So we all basically have them, and it's the sex hormones afterward that affect if they're going to be breasts or just nipples on pecs. So let's see. As you know, nipples are many different shapes and sizes on everyone. They're puffy, flat, permanently erect, rarely or never erect, inverted, sensitive, not so sensitive, or even a combination of these. No two nipples are alike, even on one person. As for the shape of your nipples, that they protrude some, it's not abnormal at all. There are fatty cells, blood vessels, milk ducts, breast tissue, which is also just fat cells, essentially lactation glands for either sex. It could be that you have more fatty cells behind your nipple or that the glands are a little bit bigger. So you're exploring nipple torture and it may be erotic for you. Your dick getting hard is just that, it's getting hard. Perhaps since you can barely feel the pain going into your nipple, it's not the pain but the thought of the pain that is hot. Or maybe it's the pain once you remove the floss and the thread and the clamps that is exciting. It could be the rush of adrenaline and excitement of actually piercing your nipple, and your body just responds with an erection. It's not uncommon to get an erection or have a sexual response when adrenaline is heightened, So whenever you're puncturing your skin with anything, that device has got to be sanitized and sterile first. If not, there's a risk of infection, which means a trip to the doctor to explain why and how, which could be a little uncomfortable, just a little, and then a prescription of antibiotics is most likely. So that's a lot less fun than taking a little bit of time to prepare the needles for safer and healthier play. People get off on what is called needle play, and they poke needles through just about any part of their skin that can be poked. Some do it for the sake of sensation, others because it's erotic or sexually stimulating, and I'm by no means trying to box everyone into categories because the reasons people enjoy needle play are as varied as people's nipples. So have fun, be safe with your body, and enjoy.
Well done.
Thank you.
I also responded to the fellow and I said male nipples come in all kinds of sizes and shapes. You apparently have been blessed with the prominent kind. Good for you. I suppose this, like most things to do with our bodies, is determined by genetics. Male nipples were for a long time considered a biological mystery since they appeared not to serve any direct biological function, and so their development appeared to present a problem for the theory of evolution. However, modern biology now regards the existence of male nipples as being consistent with the theory of evolution. Male nipples exist because they are homologous to female nipples, which originate from the same overall genetic and developmental blueprint as male nipples. Human male nipples do have a secondary biological function, like female nipples, and they are sensitive to the touch, but less so, and can trigger sexual arousal. Hey, speaking of sexual arousal, lots of people clamp and pump their nips, and you can find lots of the most popular devices for this sort of thing at Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Look for the Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, drdickssexadvice.com. And nipple piercing, as Monique just said, is a very popular sort of thing for both women and men. However, if you are practicing the do-it-yourself method and you're not using the proper materials or that you're piercing yourself in a non-sterile sort of way, you are inviting an infection. And that, my friend, is not a good thing. Good luck. So, Monique, you and I are pretty much on the same page on all of these responses to these questions. That's pretty amazing. I have years and years and years and years and years and years and years in practice, and you're just starting out, so I'm really confident that you're going to be really good at what you do.
Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying this aspect of the internship. I've always thought it would be great to have a sex advice column like you do. And, you know, part of an internship is learning the reality of how it actually works. So I've romanticized this notion of what is it like to have a sex advice therapy? Like most people romanticize everything that they don't know anything about.
Right.
And, so yes, this, you know, writing these replies, it was interesting. I kept hoping and wanting the person in front of me so I could ask them more questions.
It's so true. I often feel the same way. And sometimes people write in very disturbing and questions, and they send them to me anonymously, and so I cannot respond directly. I'm going to take some time and have one of those questions in a few minutes. But for right now, I'm going to say goodbye to you, but I'm going to insist that you come back next month and join me for one more podcast before your internship is up.
Excellent. I would love to. I really look forward to it.
Cool beans, kiddo. So be well, and we'll be chatting in the days to come.
Okay, it sounds great. Have a great day.
Thanks, Monique. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, Richard.
So, speaking of difficult questions that I'm unable to address directly because the sender doesn't include his or her email address. So this is from Sammy. She is 21 and she writes from Chicago. I'm in love. It's the first time I've ever felt this way and it's amazing. I suddenly know why people cry during romantic comedies and why someone would jump in front of a moving vehicle to push their lover out of the way. I'm very used to being yelled at or taken advantage of or treated like I'm not going anywhere. I've never been treated so well. That being said, I'm coming to you for advice. I have to take the utmost care in approaching matters with my girlfriend, and this is when I really need some words of wisdom. Let me give you a brief history of myself. I come from a purely abusive household. No, I don't want sympathy. That would be silly. Everyone's been through something, right? So when I left that household, I craved adrenaline. For a while I was anorexic, then bulimic. Then I started cutting, then rotated between them. Anything to give me a surge of chemicals, I craved it. Then I was almost hospitalized. I hit rock bottom and I sought therapy, and now I'm in recovery. This entails having some urges to release my adrenaline, but without the quick fixes of an unhealthy action. I'm so proud of myself. It's hard, but I'm doing great. It's been a long time. My girlfriend also came from an abusive household. She's been through several terrible relationships, which emotionally crippled her by means of abusive sex. She has a complex about accidentally hurting her partner and has issues with feelings of inadequacy and anxiety. I want to take care of her, and I never want to make her feel uncomfortable. This is where my problem lies. You see, I have developed a healthy way to sort out my need for adrenaline before I met my girl, and it's through rough sex. If I were feeling down or out, I would have my hair pulled or shoulder bitten or spanked or mistreated, all with safe words and mutual respect and understanding, mind you. While my current girlfriend indulges me with a few light whacks on my behind, it's far from what I need to get out my pent-up negative energy. Without full indulgence, I find myself aching for it, becoming overly sexual and becoming more and more rough with her in bed. While she takes no interest in it, I've recently tried to discuss these things with her, that I can be more gentle with her, some things she prefers, and whatever she prefers is what I want to give her. But I also brought up the fact that I need sex rougher occasionally because of my history and would like to be indulged myself. Overall, it just made her feel uncomfortable, and I felt terrible for bringing it up. I don't know what the future holds. I do know that I love this girl and that there is a storm welling within me demanding release. How can I approach this with her in an understanding way without sacrificing my healthy outlet in the process? My goodness, Sammy, you have lived a lifetime of difficulties in your short 21 years. I'm going to try to address your situation as succinctly as I possibly can, and in doing so I'm going to have to table any discussion of your abusive past. Like you say, you don't want sympathy. That would be silly. Everyone's been through something, right? Everyone has. I do, however, want to commend you on cleaning up your act and getting straight with yourself about being a junkie whose drug of choice is adrenaline. And that's where I want to focus my attention for today, if you don't mind. I believe that the difficulties you are experiencing with your girlfriend can be chalked up to your adrenaline jones. You are still seeking that high, albeit in a more constructive manner than you did before, but you still need and want that high. Now, your girlfriend, on the other hand, doesn't get this, nor does she want any part of the rough stuff, apparently. She doesn't share your addiction, and she's uncomfortable with what you are asking her to dish out to you. And for both of your sakes, I hope that you will let her off the hook. The kind of intense sex play you are seeking looks and probably feels like abuse to her. This alone probably triggers all of her own abuse issues, and nothing good will ever come of that. But I think there is a solution. Why not hook up with a pro dom, or at least another woman or women who know their way around power play? I'll bet that you could find these women who would welcome you and even your girlfriend for some extreme play. You could play with the Dom and your girlfriend could watch, if she's into that. The reason I know this would work is that I raised your question with a couple of women Doms I know. They tell me that this is not unfamiliar territory. In fact, one of my friends said that she has helped other couples figure out a strategy for their own play even when one of the people in the partnerships is either unversed in power play or is less interested than the other. In the end, you may decide that you simply need an outlet for the way out there sort of play that you crave. And once that you have that in place, you won't have to burden your girlfriend with it. And the two of you can enjoy a vanilla life together. Good luck. And I know that we're almost out of time. Well, actually, we're out of time. But I still want to address Oliver's question. He's 30 and writes from Miami. What do you think about foreskin restoration? I'm cut, but I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of sensation and the experience of jacking off without lube. My partner is uncircumcised, and I'm so attracted to uncut cock. Recently, I went to a nude beach, and I stayed with my clothes because I felt like I had a butchered dick. I had been reading about it and the commitment it takes, but I wanted to know your thoughts on it. Good question, Oliver. But before I share my thoughts on foreskin restoration, I ought to say a little bit about what it is for those in our audience who have never heard of such a thing. The Wikipedia definition reads in part, foreskin restoration is the process of expanding the residual skin on the penis via surgical or non-surgical methods. It can be performed for several reasons. Among these are to create the appearance of a natural foreskin covering the gland's penis, and the belief that sensitivity might be increased. Foreskin restoration techniques are most commonly undertaken by men who have been circumcised or who have sustained an injury, but are also used by men who desire longer foreskins and by men who have phimosis. I know a lot of guys who have and are currently stretching the skin of their cock shaft with the hope that eventually it will cover their dickhead. It's a long-term, laborious, and often uncomfortable, if not painful, process. That alone prevents many men who have been circumcised and who are pissed off that their parents had them circumcised as babies from trying to restore their foreskin. And to be frank, restoration is a misnomer. There is no way to restore a foreskin once it's been removed. A foreskin is a highly specialized, extremely sensitive, functional organ of touch. No other part of the body serves the same purpose. A foreskin contains about 240 feet of nerve fibers and tens of thousands of specialized nerve endings, which can feel the slightest pressure, the lightest touch, and the smallest motion, the subtlest change in temperature, and the finest gradations of texture. These specialized nerve endings are different from the nerve endings in the skin of our cock shaft, so stretching that skin to mimic a foreskin might be visually appealing to someone who has lived without, but it will never be the same as the original. In the end, Oliver, you will have to decide if the restoration, in quotes, process is for you. It will take years to accomplish, and in the meantime, I wholeheartedly hope that you will not be ashamed of your dick in its altered state. It is what it is, and there's no use in crying over spilt milk. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for more sex advice with an edge, with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Folks, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one you've just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, If you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There is no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime that you donate will go to support this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. So, until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.